I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. Late in June, the United States Conference of Mayors meeting in Miami approved resolutions urging the federal government to rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement and to redouble their own city's efforts to combat climate change and commit to renewable energy. There were panels on climate resiliency. There was a resolution supporting a commitment to run cities 100% on renewable energy like wind or solar by 2035. Many Republican and Democratic mayors were energized after they left the meeting, and there are efforts going on all over the country to look at some of these issues and take front and center when it comes to dealing with climate change as the administration has withdrawn from the Paris Climate Accord. More than one dozen cities have banded together to post deleted climate change information and research from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's. They were scrubbed by the administration. Milwaukee is one of those cities, as is Reno, Nevada. And this hour of the program, we're going to be talking about this with two guests. Mayor Tom Barrett is joining us here in our Milwaukee studios. Mayor Barrett has, I can't believe it's been this long, been mayor since 2004. He also served five terms in the U.S. Congress, and he was a member of the Wisconsin State Assembly and Senate. Mayor Barrett, thanks so much for being with us again.
It's always great to be here, Kathleen.
Very nice to have you with us. Also joining us, should his services be needed, is somebody who really knows this area. Eric Schambarger is director of the City of Milwaukee Environmental Collaboration Office. Eric, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah, great to have you here. And also joining us today by phone from Reno, Nevada, is David Bobzian. He's an at-large member of the Reno, Nevada City Council, and he mayor is one of 300 mayors who signed the Climate Mayors Initiative to uphold the Paris Climate Accord. David, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good afternoon and good morning from Nevada.
Yeah, and we'll have an interesting conversation because you've got a dry state and we have the Great Lakes here, so that will certainly be an issue. Tell me, Mayor Barrett, why did the mayors decide to take this initiative?
Well, with the Trump administration retreating on climate action and abdicating America's leadership role, we didn't want the entire country to be missing in action. And I know that there are other countries that are stepping up trying to fill this void, but we wanted to send a very loud and clear message that we're still in. As far as we're concerned, the problem hasn't gone away because we've got a different president. But in fact, the problem is probably getting more serious, and we want to make sure that we are at the table and that our voices are being heard, because a lot of the activities that take place are actually taking place at the local level. And so it's important for us to send a message, not just domestically, but internationally, that even though the president of the United States is abdicating our leadership role, that we want to be part of this. We want to solve this problem and address this problem.
I know the mayor of Miami Beach took people around because Miami's at the forefront climate. The water, the flooding has been terrible, and they've had to lift their streets and do all kinds of things. What's happening in the city of Milwaukee? How are you noticing the effects of climate change?
Well, I would say we had two very serious rain incidents or events, if you will, in 2008 and 2010 that made us really understand that this was something that we couldn't ignore. And you have people say, well, it's a 1-in-500-year storm or 1-in-1,000-year storm or whatever, 1-in-100-year storm. But when you have 2 and 3 years, you're thinking, okay, are we at the tail end of 100-year period or 1 500-year period and at the beginning of the other? That's very unlikely. And we know that with rising temperatures that can put pressure on us. So I think with our proximity to the Great Lakes, with the fact that we really rely on fresh water for our economy, that we wanted to, again, be part of this conversation. So, for example, when the federal government scrubbed that data from its website, Eric Schambarger, who does head our Environmental Collaboration Office, he saw that and very quickly was able to get the screenshot and said, let's put it up here. And I was very, very happy that we did.
And what's up on that website, Eric?
So we have a climate action website at milwaukee.gov that highlights a lot of the things the city does. But one of those subpages is called Climate Change is Real. And it highlights, again, it's really just taking the information that the EPA used to have on their website and continue to make it available for the public. But in addition to the EPA website, there's outstanding information that the federal government had developed over the years from NASA and other agencies that really provide a pretty compelling picture about the reality of climate change. And as the mayor said, despite what the president's doing, that reality is not going away, and people need access to, I think, the best available science and information on climate change.
And why was the website scrubbed?
I assume politics.
My theory is just because you didn't like science in high school, that doesn't mean you can ignore the fact that it exists.
Let's go to Reno for the answer to the same question. How is Reno experiencing the effects of climate change?
Well, most notably, we are coming out of the five-year drought that had gripped California and Nevada as well. And so we were certainly happy that we got such a productive winter in terms of snowpack and moisture. But the reality is we are continuing to look at challenges to Sierra Forest health. We're in the middle of a, once again, pretty robust wildland fire season.
Yes.
I was just driving in on I-80 into Reno, where there's still a fire right up against the highway, and traffic is backed up in one area. So for us, the resiliency issues and the impact on economy, Reno and Nevada is so dependent on logistics and shipping goods from the Port of Oakland coming through to points east. When that interstate shuts down because of fire, it's a problem for us. So we look at it from the standpoint of it's a settled issue, despite the outright denial that we're seeing in Washington, D.C. We as a community have to join together and address these issues. We're also leading on it, though, from a brand development standpoint for business development. Nevada and Reno in particular has become notable for companies that have relocated here to build solutions around climate, Tesla probably being one of the more notable ones. And so we see it as good for business that we're going to continue to lead on this issue because we know that the companies that are here, this is important to them as well.
And have you seen more fires in recent years than in the past?
You know, there's anecdotally, there certainly seems to be more. The scientists will tell you, though, that overall the conditions for Sierra Forest health and the long-term forecast is not good. So it certainly seems like it. But we know that we will see warmer, wetter winters in the future, which is not good for us from a water standpoint in terms of storage. It's also not good for us from a tourism standpoint because we have so many ski resorts in the Sierra Nevada that bring tourists to our region. So, you know, the science and the scientists are not giving us good forecasts for where things are going absent action on the part of policymakers.
Mm-hmm. The city of Milwaukee, Mayor Barrett, you have said remains committed to promoting sustainability and preserving our environment for generations to come. How are we committed to promoting sustainability?
Well, we've got a lot of activity that's going on at the city level right now. As we mentioned, we've got an Office of Environmental Collaboration, and that implements our overall sustainability strategy, which we call Refresh Milwaukee. Several years ago, we brought together a group of community stakeholders to make some priorities. And two of the catalytic priorities, one was the Inner Harbor, the area on Lake Michigan, south of the downtown area, an area where we used to have a huge coal pile. But when We Energies, thankfully, moved to natural gas in the valley, that freed up that area. And so there's a large tract of land there that we want to obviously bring back into sustainable use. Also in the central city, and we have poor areas in the city of Milwaukee. And so we want to make sure that foreclosed properties and dilapidated properties are put in situations that are going to be helpful to the community rather than hurtful to the community. So you're seeing some orchards, you're seeing some community gardens, you're seeing more sustainability efforts there. So those are community-centric type approaches. But we also have a Better Buildings Challenge, and we work with our businesses to reduce energy use. We've set a target to reduce our reliance on fossil fuel as well. And we're trying to take every step we can with our city buildings, because we've got a large supply of city buildings, to make them more energy efficient. And I think a lot of this is common sense and good economics. I've always maintained that environmental sustainability and economic growth are not enemies of each other, that in fact they're partners. And if you look at the communities, whether you're in the United States or whether you're in Canada, that are known best for their sustainability efforts, those are also oftentimes the most successful cities. So again, I think that there's really an economic advantage to doing this. Just as Dan was saying in Reno, they're trying to capitalize on this. Here we've got our water council. We're trying to capitalize on our status as the freshwater capital of the United States. And we think that there's a lot that can be gained from acting in a responsible, sustainable manner.
Mm-hmm. What about solar, Eric, and wind? Are those in use in Milwaukee? Can we make use of that kind of energy?
Sure. We actually put a wind turbine at the port of Milwaukee. You'll see it as you come in on the Lake Express Ferry. It's one of the first things you see about Milwaukee is that wind turbine, which provides all the electricity needs and then some to the port's headquarters. And then on solar, we have what we call our Milwaukee Shine Solar Program. It offers a group buy so that homeowners can get bulk pricing on solar. So we educate homeowners on solar. We get a single qualified installer to do it, and then we get bulk pricing so we can try to drive solar at a neighborhood level. We also, I think, very importantly, provide financing for both solar and energy efficiency. One of the big challenges to doing those things is, you know, you're paying your regular energy bill on a monthly basis, but sometimes to make the upgrades that can save you in the long term can cost a lot up front. So we provide lots of different interesting financing options for both homeowners and businesses so they can afford energy efficiency and renewable energy upgrades and pay for it over time as they're saving on their regular energy bill.
Mm-hmm. And in Reno, what does sustainability mean and what efforts are you making in that direction?
Well, we are currently created a sustainability plan. We've certainly had a lot of experience with city operations. Related to renewable energy, we do have solar projects and some wind turbines as well that assist us with power from clean sources. The other notable clean source for Nevada is geothermal, so that's certainly an industry that's very robust in our state and in our region. We are looking at setting up a similar financing program to assist homeowners and others with energy efficiency and solar projects, rooftop solar in particular. But the one thing on our plate right now that we're working toward is some sort of a program with our power provider whereby all city operations, all city government energy consumption would be from clean renewable sources. So there's a lot going on. And the other thing that's probably notable is that because of our resurging economy and there's a lot of building right now, there's tremendous opportunity around building and energy efficiency. And so we're getting close to also launching a better building challenge to kind of help model and collaborate with the development industry in our town to really set the model for how you do sustainable building.
What does it mean to have the federal government really at odds with many of these initiatives, and I'm sure not very forthcoming with a whole lot of money? Can you do all of this? Can cities around the country really make a difference here, or don't you need some money from the federal government?
Well, we would obviously far prefer the situation that we had under the Obama administration, where we really did have a partnership. But we have to deal with the cards that are dealt to us. And right now, we clearly have an administration that is outright hostile to a lot of these initiatives. But that doesn't mean we're going to cry and go home. What we're going to try to do is we're going to try to do what we can at the local level. For example, I'll give you something that we were able to get from the federal government, and that is we got a planning grant from the U.S. Department of Energy to study options for a community solar project. With a special emphasis on increasing access to solar for low to moderate income residents. So think of the 30th Street Industrial Corridor here in Milwaukee, trying to find ways to make sure that this is something that's both economically feasible and attractive to lower income homes so that the owners of those homes or the people who live there can save on their energy bills. So I go back to the argument that we're going to continue to do what we can with the tools we have. And if the federal government is going to withdraw from this, we're going to do everything we can locally to make it happen. But there's no question it is a loss to have the federal government step away from this issue.
Mm-hmm. David, how big a loss is it to you in Reno?
I would say similar to Mayor Barrett's perspective, we're going to just keep moving. The money would have been nice. I think the bigger hole is going to be felt from the lack of a central convener, having technical assistance from the various agencies, and that also sort of a general guide and plan for how we move forward. But I think in response, very immediately, what you're seeing, as you've reported, the cities are coming together, and they're working together sort of peer-to-peer to kind of keep this movement and this motion happening. So we're going to miss it. It is a shame, but, you know, we're going to keep doing what we're doing despite what's happening in D.C.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a handle, Eric? We keep hearing that so much investment is taking place in renewable energy. Have we been able to attract any of that business to this part of the country? And is it indeed a booming industry, or are we putting more of our resources in fuels, fossil fuels?
I think the industry as a whole is definitely improving. It's becoming more cost-effective all the time as technology advances. But you certainly see more activity on the West Coast where there have state-level policies that encourage it. So in Wisconsin, because of some of the work we've done at the city level to increase or improve the permitting process for solar, we have attracted some of these national solar companies like Sunrun. Sunvest is based out of Pewaukee. So there is the solar industry really is growing in Wisconsin, but it's not growing as fast as it probably could be with more proactive policies at the state and federal level.
Mm-hmm. But we're also blessed in having companies like Johnson Controls here, which is really a leader in sustainability efforts. And so Rockwell, again, is another company, A.O. Smith. We've got a number of companies that understand the importance of smart energy usage.
Mm-hmm. Let's switch to water, and we'll do so in just one moment. We're talking about a mayor's initiative. There was a meeting in Miami just a little while ago, and this caught our attention that mayors, Republican mayors, Democratic mayors, have approved a number of resolutions and taken the forefront on climate change initiatives, combating climate change in cities all over this country. And we're talking about what those are and how important this issue is and what can be done by local cities when the federal government may not be very supportive of those issues. In fact, withdrew from the Paris Climate Accord. Our phone number for you to join this conversation, and we'd love to hear from you about all of these issues, is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org. Facebook is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter at K Dunn Show. Mayor Tom Barrett is with us, been the mayor of Milwaukee since 2004. Also joining us in Milwaukee is Eric Schambegbarger. He is City of Milwaukee Environmental Collaboration Office head, and joining us from Reno, Nevada City Council member David Bobzian. So can the cities be at the forefront of this? What do you think? We'll start taking your calls, and we'll talk about water as well in a moment here on the Ideas Network. Our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Can the mayors take on climate change issues? Can they make a difference is the discussion this hour, and we certainly welcome your phone calls and all of the other ways that you can reach us. Before we go to phone calls as they're coming in, let's talk about water a little bit. David is just going to be with us, and I'm sure water is an issue there. The Great Lakes, what's the name of the initiative that I don't know if it's going to be in the budget or not, Restoring the Great Lakes Initiative.
The Great Lakes Restoration Initiative has been something that has been funded by the federal government throughout the Obama administration. President Trump zeroed it out in his first delivery to Congress and in the follow-up budget. But I think you're seeing here really a bipartisan opposition to it from governors, from senators, from local leaders in the Great Lakes Basin because they understand how important it is. So I'm hopeful. I don't know what the amount will be, but I'm hopeful that we'll be able to make sure that program stays in existence. It's a very, very important program for all the Midwestern states that rely on Great Lakes water.
Mm. And we'll talk about what that does. Let's go to David on this, too, because I'm sure, as you talked about, the fires and the drought just coming out of it, water has got to be a huge issue in Reno, isn't it?
Well, water is always a big issue in the West, and Reno in particular. We've done a lot in recent years through all sorts of collaborative partnerships to kind of balance the needs of the municipalities, rural interests, et cetera, along the Truckee. But in Nevada, quantity is always an issue, particularly Las Vegas is probably the city that gets the most attention on this issue because they are part of the Colorado River Basin. And so of all the basin states, Nevada certainly is one of them, and folks have been watching for some time with great concern sort of the decline in snowpack year after year in the Colorado Basin. So we're watching it.
So what are you going to do about it? Are you looking at our water?
You know, that's always talked about as the fantasy solution, but so much of it is really just kind of nuts and bolts efficiency savings, making sure that, you know, low-flow appliances, making sure that, you know, we don't do landscaping like we used to. Right. You see a whole heck of a lot less in terms of green lawns and sprinklers going in the heat of the sun for people's housing needs. So, you know, there's a lot of technological innovation around water efficiency that we're putting to use.
Here in Milwaukee, David, we can help you. We can ship it to you. It'll be in containers smaller than 16 ounces, and it'll be fermented.
there's plenty of that already happens.
All right. Well, just trying to help.
I appreciate that always.
Nice offer. But you must be, David, on some levels really concerned about this, because you look at the temperatures planes couldn't fly in Las Vegas, I believe, a couple of weeks ago. It's really hot there. And if it keeps getting hotter, this is a real problem for people living in that area, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, the desert Southwest has been experiencing some remarkable spikes in heat, and I've certainly been down further south recently and experienced it firsthand. In Reno, we're a little more insulated from it, but yet the projections are still pretty aggressive in terms of what we can expect in terms of long-term temperature variance. So it's definitely something that we're watching. Right. And again, you know, it's with great relief we had such a robust winter this last time that ended our drought. But I don't think anyone is taking it for granted that that's going to be the new normal. The new normal is that this is going to continue to be a challenge for us.
Right. David, thanks ever so much for joining our discussion.
Thank you.
David is in, Bobzian is his name, an at-large member of the Reno, Nevada City Council. And we have with us still in our studios in Milwaukee, Mayor Barrett is with us, and also Eric Schambarger, who is City of Milwaukee Environmental Collaboration Office Head. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Email from Judy in Fitchburg. I applaud your local efforts to increase solar and geothermal. I wonder if your local utilities are supporting your efforts morally and financially, or do you find resistance to installing more rooftop solar? Also, do you have the ability to push utilities to buy more bulk renewable energy, such as Iowa wind farms?
Well, I think it's safe to say that the local utility here is in the business of making money, and that's America. That's what their goal is, and I think they have a business model that has relied for decades on a fossil fuel model. As I said earlier, here in Milwaukee, it has shifted what we call the Menominee Valley, the Valley plant, from a coal-fired plant to a natural gas plant, which I think is a significant step forward. We'd always like to see more, and I think that their arguments are always going to be economic in nature. But I think that there's a healthy creative tension at times there to try to do even more. That's what we want to do. And I think over time we'll be successful there.
Mm-hmm. You want to add anything to that, Eric?
No, I think the mayor hit it on the head. There's lots of policies that can be done to increase solar. The state of Wisconsin has a renewable portfolio standard statewide. It's set at about 10%, and then individual utilities have their own requirements. I believe We Energies is at about 6.5%. So there's more that, you know, you can always increase that percentage at a state level progressively. You see that in places like California, where they have more aggressive renewable portfolio standards. I think the utilities would say, hey, we got enough capacity already. We have these coal plants. We don't need more capacity. And in some respects, I think we're talking past each other, because we're saying, yes, we understand you have coal plants, but we want to see more renewable energy sources here, so that we keep more of those energy dollars local rather than importing coal from around the country.
And we were disappointed with the PSC and some of the energy companies that I think changed the rate structure in a way that was less favorable to solar energy. But we're moving forward. We're completely dedicated to trying to get more renewable fuels in our mixture.
Right. And I think the utilities understand too. And as investor-owned utilities, they have investors that are from around the world. And as the expectation that governments and utilities take climate change seriously, that can create some positive momentum, I guess, to do more renewables.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative and the successes thereof and the future of what needs to be done and what are the successes, Mayor Barrett?
Well, right here, if you go, again, to the city of Milwaukee, the Kinnickinnick River, we've done a lot of work there working with MMSD. I know in Sheboygan, they've been able to really do some work in their harbor there. Racine has benefited from it. A number of communities, again, along the lakeshore have really benefited from this. And I was just not long ago planting some trees in an area because they were able to get some funds from the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative because it helps us not have more runoffs from our deep tunnel system by having the land itself soak up some of this rainwater. So it makes a lot of sense. And my experience in Congress was you had in the Southeast, you had the Everglades issues, and all the politicians in Florida from both parties came around that issue. You go to the Maryland area, the Chesapeake Bay, again, it became a bipartisan issue. And now in the Midwest, you have, I think, members of both parties rallying around this to make sure that this is a priority. Not every politician, but I know that there's been a good number of them who said, look, you just can't slice and dice this program. It's too important to eight Great Lakes states. And for the life of me, I don't understand the politics, because these are states where President Trump did very, very well. Why he would want to cut funding in an area where he did well is beyond me.
And that's in the proposed budget, so
that's in his budget.
His budget,
yeah. And,
right.
And again, I think if you were going to talk to some members of Congress, they would say, well, we're the ones at the end of the day who are going to fashion this budget. But clearly he has made that a priority, because in both documents he's submitted to Congress, he has zeroed out this fund.
Let's talk a little bit more about the future of water. It's hard to imagine 20, 30 years from now, places like Reno, Nevada, some of the places in the West that don't have water, and not having all those people, maybe even mayors who are with you now on Paris Climate Accord, but getting a little bit nervous that they don't have access to water. What protections are there for the Great Lakes, and what role will this huge body of fresh water play in the future?
Well, there was a very, very important document that was created several years ago, the Great Lakes Compact, that really governed the diversions and withdrawals from the Great Lakes. And it passed Congress under President Bush. It was signed into law by President Bush. Then Governor Doyle was very active in it. I was very active in it at the local level through the Great Lakes mayors, as was John Dickert, who has been the mayor of Racine and now will actually head that organization. So for us, the Great Lakes Compact is something very, very important. And it became a very important local issue because Waukesha, as you know, is trying to get water out of the Great Lakes. That document, the Great Lakes Compact, really set the parameters on what could happen. And so the city of Milwaukee, not surprisingly, because we've got a surplus of capacity in our water utility, was interested in selling it to them, but only if it complied with the Great Lakes Compact. And initially, the state of Wisconsin said, well, you only can negotiate over the sale of water if you're willing to provide it to a much greater area. And that's not what we were willing to do. Interestingly, the eight Great Lakes governors, when they reviewed the first document submitted by Waukesha, said, whoa, this is way too big. And they scaled it back to something that was almost identical to what we were saying we would be willing to negotiate over. So that gives you an example where it's important to have the Great Lakes Compact in place so that you don't allow what I would consider this great asset that we have here in the Midwest to be misused. So I think that's been a real important tool.
We're talking about climate change and what it is mayors and states can do to combat climate change if they don't have the lead from the federal government this hour. And welcoming your phone calls, too. How would you answer that? What do you think local communities can do? What is your community doing? What are people doing? I know the mayor's on this big walk thing. We'll talk about walking as well, and cars and transportation and all of those ways that we can decrease the amount of carbon emission into the air. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. You started, I think, on July 1st. You've been walking up a storm, Mayor Barrett.
Well, I'm just trying to fight middle age, Kathleen, is what I'm trying to do.
But that's another way. I mean, people are always looking for what they can do on a human level. Certainly, if you can walk somewhere,
yeah,
it's a good idea, right?
Well, the other reason that's good, and I'm sure this is true in every community in the state of Wisconsin, you go to the neighborhoods and you see the people who care about the neighborhoods and you see what's going on, and you talk about grassroots. It's literally grassroots when you're walking through the neighborhood. So we've been doing this for several years now, where I go to every single part of the city and find residents and neighbors who want to take a walk, and it's a wonderful way to get out, and then I can go home and eat some cookies. So it's a win-win situation.
Yeah. I used to eat jelly beans. That's when I was running many years ago. Oh yeah, I'm going to go home and eat jelly beans. I kept eating jelly beans and stopped the running. And I'm sure that there are other things that people do on their day-to-day lives. I see there are a lot more bike trails now in the city of Milwaukee.
There's a lot more bike trails. In fact, I was over in the Three Bridges Park that we have here in the city of Milwaukee, and there were many, many, many bicycles. But in the city of Milwaukee, again, for visitors to the city of Milwaukee, if you want to come to the city of Milwaukee, we have a very strong bike sharing program, if you want to call it that. Our Bubbler program, well over 500 bikes. It now includes stations in Shorewood and Wauwatosa. So it's a great way to see the city, especially in the summertime. So that's my commercial. Come to Milwaukee, rent a Bubbler bike, and you'll see all the amazing things that are going on in the city right now.
And we have, I don't know who it is, but I just have a note saying another Wisconsin mayor is joining us. So I'm not sure who you are, but hello.
Oh, hi. This is Gordon Ringberg, mayor of Bayfield.
Well, it's nice to hear your voice.
Hey, mayor, how are you?
Good. I'll put in a plug for Bayfield. I just saw it as listed as, the, I don't know, is it the cutest city?
Cutest. One of the cutest towns
in Wisconsin. See, I'm following what's going on in Bayfield.
Thank you. Well, I used to live in Milwaukee, so I follow Milwaukee, too. So, but, yeah, I mean, this, even as small as we are up here, the climate change is affecting us, and we're doing our part to be sustainable and save on electric. And as you mentioned, economically, it's a big thing for us. We're seeing the money that we get from taxpayers and from the state going down. And so we have to find ways to save money. And if we can reduce the energy that we use in our sewer plant or in our water utilities or in our vehicles, it goes right to the bottom dollar and it helps our taxpayers. Mm.
And what's happening in terms of climate change in the beautiful part of the state of Bayfield?
Well, interesting things. Of course, the mayor mentioned more severe storms. Last year we had a big storm come through the area. It actually shut us off on three sides. It didn't hit Bayfield itself, but it hit the surrounding communities. We had roads washed off to the east and to the south and to the southwest. And there was, the only way to get here was on Highway 2. And it actually affected our tourism for a whole month up here. And we don't want to see that. This week we are celebrating, if you want to call that, celebrating the great flood of 1942. That had more to do with the having all the trees cut down in the area at the time, but we had a rain event that washed mud into the city of Bayfield up to 4 feet deep in the main street.
Goodness.
So, we don't want that to happen again, and these big major rain events could do that.
Right.
The other thing that was very significant this year, the temperature of Lake Superior has as much water that is in there, the temperature of Lake Superior is up a couple degrees. Mm. And that affected the ice production this year. We had no ice between here and Madeline Island. The Madeline Island ferry ran all winter long. And the folks on the island really look forward to having that ice road so they can drive back and forth and not have to worry about the ferry schedule.
Right. And so do you feel that you have enough resources? What do you need to really take on the effects of climate change in Bayfield? And
well,
what is your name?
Looking at right now to see what we can do. We can make some changes in our ordinances to make it easier for our citizens to put solar on their homes or to get into other ways to be a little more efficient. I want to work with our local power provider to get into some solar buyback things. I would love to get a solar farm in the city if we could. That would be kind of cool. Or even just a small solar farm at our sewage plant to help power our pumps that are there.
Mm-hmm. Mayor, what's your name? I don't think I caught it, or if you told me.
Gordon Ringberg.
Gordon, okay. Well, thank you ever so much for listening and for calling in.
And I just want to say, Mayor, I think it's significant that you've got the mayor of the largest city in the state, and the mayor, I think Bayfield is the smallest city.
We are the smallest. We are
one
square mile in size, and we're under 500 citizens right now.
But you've got the mayor of the largest city and the mayor of the smallest city singing out of the same hymnal. So there's no big divide here. What we have in common is we're both on the Great Lakes, and we treasure that, and we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can for future generations to be able to let our kids and grandkids enjoy it.
Very much so. Very much so.
Thank you for listening and for calling in.
Well, thank you. You guys have a great day.
Thanks again.
He mentioned Lake Superior getting 2 degrees warmer. What's happening with Lake Michigan? Is it getting a lot warmer? And obviously that's going to affect fishing. A lot of people fish Lake Michigan. It's going to affect the whole ecosystem here, I would think.
I think so. I think it's going to create a lot of variability. That's where we're seeing more. It's not necessarily going to have the lake get bigger and smaller, but it could vary a lot from year to year, which can affect shoreline erosion and things of that nature. And that's where it's really important for us to work with the professionals at the School of Freshwater Sciences and really try to develop science-based policy. And that's something I think we're missing a little bit at the federal level. But here locally, we value scientists. We value what they have to say about policy and its effects on us.
Yeah, let's talk more. I don't think a lot of people are aware of the Freshwater Sciences program here in Milwaukee. This is a big thing.
It's a great program that the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee hosts, where we've got the Great Lakes Initiative or Institute here, great for fresh water. Mm-hmm. It's located right on Lake Michigan, and we've got a large group of scientists there who study the impact of changes to the Great Lakes, about fishing, about boating, all the impacts that can occur with the changing environment and the different impacts and pressures on the Great Lakes. So we're blessed to have it here. I know that there's another institute in Michigan, but this is something that we have put a lot of effort into fostering a relationship between the city and the Great Lakes Institute, and we're very, very proud of that. And then we have really more of a private sector initiative, which is the Water Council, that tries to capitalize on all the businesses that we have here and the technology and the potential for more technology improvements to deal with areas where you do have sufficient water supply, and those areas, because one of our partners, believe it or not, in this is Las Vegas.
Really?
Las Vegas is a member of the Water Council.
Really?
And they're looking at the issue from a much different perspective than we are.
Sure.
But it's a big issue for them as well.
Yeah. Let's go to Gail in Fish Creek. Hi, Gail.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Actually, there's like a couple of things, because being aware that we've been trying to get solar energy and wind for so many decades, and it's been blocked, of course, by big oil. But, you know, we're looking at it now, and we're kind of like, the horse is really, really far behind the cart. Have we improved on any of that technology, or that it actually will work more on overcast days like Wisconsin is a lot of the time, so we don't get that full solar impact on being able to kick back power and conserve, and then people can make back the price that it's going to cost for them to do that, because that's big. And then the other question I have is about the water with Aqua America coming in, and I've heard so many questionable things about the company and the filtering system in order to make clean water to get energy out of it and all that. It's taking advantage of municipalities in a way by controlling their water, and that is a big concern of mine.
Well, I can speak to the second one. I'll let Eric speak to the first one. Here in the city of Milwaukee, we have a water utility. It's municipally owned and operated. We actually have 2 water plants, and we are running both of these plants, water plants, or distribution centers, if you want to call them that. We have a surplus, and it's probably not a surprise, because when they were built, there were a lot more breweries and foundries and factories and tanneries in the city of Milwaukee. So it was built for a much larger demand than we have right now. In fact, we just had a meeting about this yesterday with some cabinet members of mine, and we have seen a consistent drop in water usage here over the last 12 years. This last year has been the smallest drop in water usage, which is interesting, because we're constantly seeing lower amounts of water being used. And in some respects, that's very good, because it means that people are conserving more. It means that in business, they're using less water. But it's also true that our businesses are far less reliant on water. But just to assure you, at least here in Milwaukee, this is something that is near and dear to our heart, and something that we feel we've done a very good job as a steward having it as part of the city.
Yeah, on the question of solar energy, we're roughly in Wisconsin here about on the same latitude as Germany, and Germany has a very robust solar industry. Solar does work here. Obviously, you're going to get more production in a place like Arizona than you would here, but it still is cost effective and can pay for itself in around, for a homeowner, in about 10 years with the federal tax credits that are available, but which are sunsetting over the next year or two. I would say, though, that in Wisconsin, in a cold weather climate like Wisconsin, I would encourage people to look at energy efficiency first, and that just means cutting your energy use overall through insulation, more efficient furnaces, boilers, that kind of thing. It pays for itself more a little bit more quickly than renewables. So, but both, I think, are very important.
And we'll take more phone calls in a moment. Here's how you reach us. We have a line open if you'd like to join the conversation, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We're talking about how cities and communities all over the country can take on the issue of climate change on a local level if the issue is not being addressed on a national level. Our interest in this topic peaked because of the Conference of Mayors, which took place in Miami Beach, and 300 mayors from all over this country vowed to carry on with their own version of the Paris Climate Accord, be it in Milwaukee or Reno or Bayfield, Wisconsin, or many other places. More with you in a moment. This is the Ideas Network. All right, back to phone calls. Carol in Oak Creek. Hi.
Hi, thank you very much. I've been through the Metropolitan Sewage District with a quite extensive tour, and frankly, I'm appalled at the fact that we discharge millions of gallons of sewage. They sprinkle a little chlorine on it and call it good to go into Lake Michigan, and this has been going on for years, and nothing is being done about it. And I'm just, you know, we're polluting our water. I wouldn't stick my toes in our Lake Michigan. But I was wondering, why is this continuing to happening? I mean, the deep tunnel project is a failure. And I was wondering, is there anything that we can do about this and not dump so much raw sewage, in other words, your toilet water, into Lake Michigan?
Prior to the construction of the deep tunnel project, I think that there was in the neighborhood of 60 discharges per year into Lake Michigan for either untreated or mildly treated sewage. That number is probably now down in the neighborhood of 1 to 2.
Ooh.
Let me repeat that. Prior to the deep tunnel, we probably had 60 discharges a year. Now we're maybe 1 to 2. So that completely repudiates our caller's argument as to what's happening. I think that the MMSD is looked at as, and I'm a member of the Great Lakes Mayors, we are looked at as a model community in our ability and our track record in dealing with these issues. I know that this is a politically charged issue, particularly for some people on the far right, but unfortunately, sometimes you have to look at the facts, and the facts are we have made tremendous progress here in southeastern Wisconsin.
Karen on Facebook writes, my husband and I took advantage of the Milwaukee Shines group buy last summer. Highly recommended. Got a great price on American-made solar panels. The installation company was already vetted. They did an excellent job. I understand Arch Electric Incorporated continues to do their installations. Also, you don't need to live in the city of Milwaukee to take advantage of the group buy. Eric?
Yeah, the group buy programs, like I said, it's a great way to bring the cost down for solar and take a lot of the guesswork out of solar. I think for the average person, it might be intimidating to research different solar providers and different panels and whatnot, and we take a lot of the guesswork out of it. Because the program has been so successful, it is spreading to other cities. This last year, we partnered with the city of Shorewood as part of the group buy. This year, we're working with Wauwatosa, and I understand parts of Waukesha may be looking at it as well. So it's just a really great way to get solar on your own roof, but I think it's also a great way to bring whole neighborhoods together because if we get enough homeowners to do solar in a certain period of time, it brings the cost down for everybody. So it creates a little bit of positive peer pressure, and we've had great success in a lot of our neighborhoods throughout the city.
Let's go next to Tom in Winona County, Minnesota. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. I'm a dairy farmer in southeastern Minnesota, and we've got a 10-kilowatt solar system. And I just wanted to let that one lady know that called before. Our solar panels even produce electricity when it's raining out.
Really?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, not as efficiently, obviously, as when the sun is shining, but we're in the process of planning another 10-kilowatt system, and between the 2-kilowatt systems and going to LED lights, we'll take about 40-50% of our electricity bill off.
Goodness.
That's very impressive. And again, I think you're going to see more of this in the future. I think economically it makes sense. And certainly the attractiveness of using solar and not using fossil fuels is something that a lot of people really appreciate.
Mm. When did you...
Here in Minnesota, they're going up on farms all over the place. We're seeing solar everywhere.
Really?
Let the sun shine.
It's a big deal over here.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Tom.
Sure.
Thanks, Tom, very much for your call. Yeah. What about other things? What about transportation? It's been a big thing in this area to not have a better system of transportation, Waukesha to Milwaukee, et cetera. Will there be any movement on that front? Obviously, the fewer people who drive cars, the less carbon emissions.
Well, again, we talked earlier about the bike system we have here. Obviously, we're trying to make improvements to our mass transit system, both through rapid transit buses and the streetcar. Controversial, but my experience has been that those communities that are growing the fastest are those that have many options for their citizens. And I look at our competition to be places like Denver and Seattle and Portland and Minneapolis. And if you look at the largest city in the country, basically the cities that don't have mass transit, some sort of fixed rail, they're going to be places like Wichita, Kansas, and Fresno. And I don't think most people think of them as high-growth cities. So I want this community to be a high-growth community, and I think one of the ways to do that is to have these options. We're going to invest in highways. We're going to invest in local streets. We're going to invest in bicycles. We're going to invest in buses, and we're going to invest in fixed transit.
Yeah, one of the things I think is shows the intersection of walkability, bikeability, climate change, and water is green infrastructure. So the sewage district and the city are working to reduce the amount of overflows, even though there's a few remaining ones that we have a year. We still want to reduce those. And one of the ways we can do that while adapting to climate change is through the use of green infrastructure. And what that means is managing more of our stormwater on site through rain gardens, bioswales, mm-hmm. things of that nature. For example, on North Avenue, we are putting in bioswales. We're working with parking lot owners to pull out lots of the asphalt parking lots and put in these bioswales with plantings and whatnot. And that has the advantage of managing stormwater on site, reducing pressure on the sewer systems, but also making for a more walkable experience. And so we hope by adding trees and green space that serves a function, we can make more walkable and vibrant commercial corridors in the city.
Thank you, Tom. In Winona County, Minnesota, John in Milwaukee. Hello.
Hi. I was wondering if a standard in commercial and residential buildings, I've heard of a platinum standard, if a city of Milwaukee has high standards for all these new buildings that are going up. I've noticed one or two that none of them seem to take advantage of the sun, but maybe they don't have to, but if there are standards that new commercial buildings would benefit from.
Yeah, thanks, John. We have about a minute.
I think you're referring to the LEED program, which is run by the U.S. Green Building Council. They have a standard that goes from gold to platinum. We don't require that on our existing buildings, although we do in our office publish eco-commercial building guidelines that make recommendations for the new buildings that have gone up. And our PACE financing program on some of the new developments has financed energy efficiency improvements to the buildings, for example, the Westin Hotel and other buildings that were formerly vacant sites that are being converted to apartments and other uses are more efficient, and we know that because we financed them with energy efficiency funding.
All right. Website people can go to find out about all the many things we talked about?
Probably the best source is milwaukee.gov/eco. There you'll find links to our climate action page as well as all of our programs.
Excellent. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Kathleen.
For a wide-ranging conversation. Thanks. I enjoyed it. Mayor Tom Barrett has been mayor of this city since 2004.
My hair was a different color when I started.
It was very red, wasn't it? Yeah. And thanks also to our guest, Eric Schambarger, who is City of Milwaukee Environmental Collaboration Office. We thank him for being with us, and we also thank joining us from Reno, Nevada, our guest there, who is on the city council, David Bobzian, our at-large member of the Reno, Nevada City Council. Thanks, everybody, for all of your calls and your messages. Please stay with us. It should be a very interesting hour coming up, we'll speak with the author of Dreamland, The True Tale of America's Opiate Epidemic. He traveled to all over the United States and also in Mexico and tells quite a story. The book was written a couple of years ago, but pertinent to our conversation. We'll look at why so many Americans are dying each year from opioids. And we'll also speak with Representative Nygren from Wisconsin. That's coming up after the news.